Hello, friends. Welcome to this episode of the Get Cyber Smart podcast, your 7 to 10 minute educational look into this crazy thing we call cyber. In this episode, this is part two of my series on protecting your kids online. And in this episode, we're going to talk about a couple specific threats to your kids and how to keep them safe. So as always, I want to thank you for taking the time to download and pass along the Get Cyber Smart podcast, the Cyber Guy podcast, to your friends. I'm seeing my download numbers go up, and I greatly appreciate those of you who are listening and passing the word to others to give this a listen. So this is part two of my current series on keeping your kids safe. Now, the ultimate goal of this series is it will actually be a launching pad to a larger educational offering that I'm creating that goes into more detail than I'm providing on these particular podcasts. The reason being, the podcast here is designed to be 7-10 minutes in length, just to kind of give you a quick overview on a specific topic to make you a little cyber smarter. Because if you get a little cyber smarter, you can get a whole lot cyber safer. And so in this episode, part two, I'm going to talk about specifically the online threats that your kids can come in contact with as they interact with technology, apps, gaming consoles, and so on. Now, honestly, there's a host of online threats, but I'm going to focus on what I think are the three big ones. And like I said, my educational thing will have a little more on that. But for right now, let's just talk about these top three, because in my 20 years working cybercrime matters for the FBI, I saw instances of all of these. And in most cases, the parents were taken completely off guard that this kind of thing would even happen or that their kids would be victimized or targeted like this. So let's talk about those top three. The first one will be no surprise to anyone. It's online predators. So the first FBI cyber online undercover case started in Baltimore in the early 1990s, and it was called Innocent Images. It started with a kidnapping case that led to the discovery of an online pedophile network that was actively trading in images and trafficking in children. Now, what happened in that case, if you want to read about it, you can go to the FBI webpage. Just put FBI Innocent Images and you'll get a quick news article on that. But essentially, what Innocent Images first started to discover was, you know, obviously trafficking of children has been going on since there's been children. This is not a new phenomenon. What's new is, well, it's not even new anymore, but what was new in 1992, 93 was the use of computers and the online world for predators to traffic in this information. And so this issue obviously continues today and really is the largest risk to your kids, particularly preteens, as they become more involved in online things with apps, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, pick your app of choice. Kids are out there with their information, which makes them easy prey for predators to prey on their insecurities, to find those vulnerable kids that they can groom and eventually victimize in one way or another. I'm not going to get into the depth of what that victimization can be, but it can be pretty horrendous. I worked in my time in the FBI, if you worked on a cyber squad, you had innocent images or crimes against children part of your squad portfolio for the most part, for the majority of my career, until they moved it over to the criminal side. That's we don't need to get into the details of how that happened, why that was the case. But the FBI continues to work these cases. Local law enforcement continues to work these cases because they are everywhere. The trading of sexually graphic images of children online, the victimization of these kids. And what we found a lot, especially when I did my time in Cleveland, is I had a polygrapher that was very good at questioning these guys who we were essentially searching their house or arresting them for the possession of online child pornography, which is a federal offense all in itself. But what he found in these interviews was a lot of these guys who were trading in images were also molesters. They were also touching kids and sexually abusing these kids too. So you'll see a lot of news reports about online predators being arrested and put in jail for the possession of images. But chances are, for the most part, they were also abusing kids as well. So that's obviously a big threat to your kids is these predators targeting and preying on children and getting them to do a lot of things. I mean, I'm going into great detail on this, and I will in my educational program I'm putting together. And like I said before last week, if you want to be a beta tester and get this for free, just email me, Darren@thecyberguy, in the first 10 or 20 or so that email me with an interest. I'll make it available for you for free to kind of review and let me know what you think. But anyway, that's for another discussion for another time. The second second threat, cyberbullying. And obviously, bullying has been going on since kids have existed. And I would gather it probably started with Cain and Abel. But the online world makes this even easier now. One of the famous cases that really brought this to the forefront involved not only teen-on-teen bullying, but parent-on-teen-on-teen bullying, or parent, rather, parent-of-teen-on-teen bullying. And this was the Lori Drew case from about a decade ago. Basically, what happened, Lori Drew and her daughter bullied this girl online for reasons that can only be known to them, and that girl ended up hanging herself in her house. And so there's a whole background on that. You can, if you just look up the Lori Drew case, you will find all sorts of articles that discuss it. But cyberbullying is an issue simply because it makes it easier for, now when you're in, if you're in high school, you know, and there's bullying, if you grew up, you may have been bullied, you may have been the bully, but it was kind of a one-on-one situation for the most part. What is happening now with cyberbullying is kids pile on this. So it becomes multiple people bullying children. And, you know, causing mental health issues and causing a host of problems. And so it's certainly a big deal. There are states that have developed state laws to deal with it. There's not really a federal crime for cyberbullying, at least that I'm aware of. But the states do kind of deal with it depending on the state that you're in. Some are more strict than others. But you're going to consistently see cyberbullying because it's hard to attribute who the bully is for the most part, at least prove that they were doing it if the kid was smart enough to hide his tracks. But, you know, you have to worry about, you know, what is my kid doing online and how do I talk to them about it? How do I get them to come to me to talk about that bullying so that I can come up with ways to mitigate that threat to them? Be contacting the schools, contacting the other parents. I mean, if parents are allowing their children to be cyber bullies, they may not know about it themselves. So it actually goes two ways. So in addition to the kid being bullied and the bullier, the parent of the bullier may not know what's going on. So if you as a parent can contact the other parent, ideally, you guys can come to a manner to kind of mitigate that threat overall. So cyberbullying, the number two threat to your kids. Number three, probably is one you don't want to think about, but you really need to think about, and it's sexting. And while this threat can often be self-inflicted, it also sits close to the cyberbullying threat because while teens may think in the moment there's no harm in sending graphic pictures to their boyfriends or girlfriends of themselves, that what they fail to understand is that transmitting these images can be classified as distribution of child pornography all in itself. This becomes a major problem when a disgruntled boyfriend or girlfriend sends pictures to others they have of their significant other after a breakup. So let's say that, you know, a girl sends a boy a explicit image of herself in their relationship. That relationship breaks apart for whatever reason, and the boy decides as revenge to send the image to his friends. That in itself is distribution of child pornography, and the former boyfriend can be arrested for that. And if they're arrested and convicted, they get a sex offender label placed on them for life. Makes their future life a lot more complicated. They can never get a security clearance. They won't be able to vote, have all sorts of different issues, which kids, again, like I say, don't think about those particular issues when they're engaged in this activity. So how do you as a parent deal with that? Well, part of it is you have to have these conversations, tough conversations with your kids about these threats in themselves, you know, the threat of predators, the threat of cyberbullying, the threat of sexting, so that they're aware of ramifications of engaging it. Now, is it going to stop them? Who knows? Depends on what the relationship you have is with your kid. If you have a good relationship with your child, then perhaps, you know, the stuff that you're talking to them about with this, making them aware of it, letting them know you're aware of these issues, can protect them down the road, make you a better parent, make them a safer child. So like I said, this is just a quick overview of the top three cyber threats that can target your kids. Next week, we'll talk about specifically some applications and the threats posed by them that kind of feed into these threats. Specifically, I'll talk about TikTok. If you've not heard my rant on TikTok before, you can find one of them. It's all over on LinkedIn or any of my Cyber Guy podcasts where I talk about TikTok. But we're going to talk about apps, the threats associated with those apps, and how you as a parent can ideally keep your kids protected from that. As you go through your week, know knowledge is protection. I appreciate you taking the time to sit and listen to these podcasts, to send it to others. I hope you're finding value with it. If you have thoughts, comments, or suggestions on the podcast, feel free to email me, Darren@thecyberguy.com. The Darren at CyberSmart no longer works. So Darren@thecyberguy.com, cyber spelled C-Y-B-U-R. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk again next week. Remember, if you get a little cyber smarter, you'll be a whole lot cyber safer.